Blog Talk Radio.
And so the second theory that we have, you know, where did the or how did the Nephilim come back after the flood? This theory to me is more far-fetched. Some people believe that the Nephilim hid out in UFOs and they actually physically left Earth before the flood. This is another theory. Doesn't mean it's correct. That's just what people believe. So these people believe that UFOs either came and picked up the Nephilim or the Nephilim built UFOs and they escaped the flood in spaceships. That's another theory. A third theory is that Nephilim somehow survived on the Ark. One of the stories is that Anak, I believe it was Anak, stored away on the boat, on Noah's Ark, and was not found, and so later populated the Earth with more Nephilim. That's highly unlikely. So we actually encounter the Anakim later on in the Promised Land, which is where, I guess that's where we're going to segue to now, the Promised Land. In Numbers 22, Nephilim have returned, and they are in the Promised Land, and Anak and his sons are there. And the 12 spies that were sent out, they come back and they give a bad report saying that, you know, the Anakim are there. And basically, 10 of the spies were afraid to take the land because these hybrids were there. And Joshua and Caleb were the only two that really wanted to go in and just, you know, take everything out. Again, paraphrasing, basically, they believed God was on their side and they could do it. The other 10 didn't, and they discouraged the people, and they ended up not going back in to take the land. But the big thing is, how did these Nephilim show back up? Which brings us to another theory. We talked about the Hollow Earth. We talked about the UFOs. We talked about Anak storing away on the Ark. Another theory is that a separate group of angels, separate from the first group that came down in the days of Noah, there was a different group after the flood that came down and started having sex with human women again. And it was by these that the newer Nephilim were populated on the Earth. Now, some people dispute that by claiming that there's no way it could happen because these angels would be too scared because of the punishment of the first angels. And for those of you who aren't familiar with the text, the punishment of the angels is found in Jude, it's found in 2 Peter, and it's also found in the book of Enoch, where it talks about the punishment of the angels. Jude compares their sin to the sin of Sodom and Gomorrah, which was going after strange flesh. 2 Peter says that they were bound in chains of darkness, and Enoch basically says they were bound in chains basically for going after human women. And again, I'm paraphrasing all this stuff. If you really want to get into what it says, I suggest you read the text for yourself word for word. So again, some of these people claim that angels would be too scared. I don't necessarily believe that's true, because if you're a fallen angel, you're already going into the lake of fire. So as a last-ditch effort, some people believe that they would try to, you know, create more hybrids. And the reason for these hybrid creations wasn't just to create hybrids. It was to mess up human bloodline. It was to interfere with God's plan of a pure Messiah. And many people believe that in the days of Noah, the blood was so mixed that unless he wiped it out, no 100% human flesh would be saved, which also brings us to a subject on Noah being perfect in his generation, without physical spot or blemish, the same description that they gave for the Passover lamb. So, again, that's for people who are not familiar with the subject of the Nephilim, just to kind of give you a basis. And, again, I suggest you go to Genesis 6, start there, read for yourself about the beginning origins of the Nephilim, jump over to Numbers 22, and you'll see a bunch more stuff going on. I'm sorry, Numbers 32. I'm just saying Numbers 22. Numbers 32, again, sorry for that. Let me make sure that I'm giving you the right verse, because I don't want to mess that up for those of you who have not read it yet. Let me make sure. Hold on one second. It's hard to kind of remember stuff when you're, you know, live on the radio, just, you know, going a lot of it off the top of your head. Some of it is written down, but a lot of it is off the top of my head. So I have a lot of verses prepared, and some of them are getting crossed up now. Usually stuff I know off the top of my head, it gets Numbers 13:33. See, I wrote it down wrong, and I said it wrong. And this is the reason you need to have notes. Numbers 13:33 are the Nephilim. All right, so now that I'm back on track, and I have everything in front of me right, Numbers 13:33 is where they encounter the Nephilim in the Promised Land. All right, so now let's talk about modern-day Nephilim. Some people believe that the Nephilim will return based on Jesus' statement in Matthew 24 and also based on Daniel's statement in Daniel chapter 2, verse 43. Jesus said, as the days of Noah were, so shall the coming of the Son of Man be. Many people take that to include the Nephilim presence on earth. Daniel 2:43, he says, and they shall mingle themselves with the seed of men. And common sense would tell you that if something is mingling with the seed of men, they are something other than men, which leaves us angels, demons, stuff that we know about in the Bible. Now, some people reject the theory that angels are capable of reproduction, and so they come up with other kind of theories like clones, which only goes to prove they have no idea about how cloning works. A clone is still human. It's not some kind of synthetic robotic thing that they stamp out in the factory. They take human DNA, they just manipulate that DNA so it looks exactly like the person that it was taken from, but it's still human. It's still human DNA. So again, they shall mingle themselves with the seed of men, and if they are mingling with the seed of men, that means they are something other than the seed of men. And many people have pointed out that, you know, if this was going to happen, there should be some kind of evidence that there are hybrids on Earth today. And I happen to disagree with that for several reasons. When you really get into this subject and you start to get into the subject of angelic abduction throughout history or supernatural abduction throughout history, you can't help but to bump into different stories about beings from the sky snatching people against their will and creating hybrids. And as history changes, so does the entity. For example, in Genesis 6, you have the angels. As history progresses, you start to see the gods coming down out of the sky and taking human women and creating hybrid children. And then as you continue on throughout history, you start to see things like fairies that are taking human women and creating hybrids, demons. One of the more popular stories about a demon that took a human woman and created a child is Merlin. Most people don't know that Merlin was considered to be a cambion in some stories, which is a product of a human and an incubus, or a human and a succubus, which are two versions of demons. And if you get into sleep paralysis, you'll probably encounter that topic a lot, the incubus and succubus. But Merlin was believed to be a product of one of these unions. When you get into the Middle Ages, you have Sylvans and Fauns and the rise of satyrs and all these other mythological creatures, the Bodach and several others. They were believed to have taken human people and created hybrids through sexual intercourse. And, of course, as we get into modern time, we start to see the rise of reports of alien abduction, beings from the sky coming and taking human women and making hybrids with them. So this story has been a foundational, I guess, event throughout human history, and it's just been reported in different ways as different creatures, but basically the event is the same. So people are wondering, you know, if all these hybrids are being created, where are they? And one interesting thing that one person on Facebook posted, they posted about the Smithsonian covering up the bones and covering up evidence of giants in general throughout history. And this has been a long-standing rumor/conspiracy theory. And it seems to make sense. The Smithsonian is one of the most powerful entities on the planet, and they are in control of much of Earth's history. And so it would be one thing if it was just one person that claimed, you know, certain things were covered up, but people have been claiming this since the inception of the Smithsonian. And so that's one theory, is that the Smithsonian is hiding all the bones from the past. There have been tons of discoveries of giants, and every time it's reported, those bones disappear. And people, lots of people say, you know, the Smithsonian came and picked them up. And once the Smithsonian has them in their hands, we never see these bones again. And so that's a prevailing theory. Another theory is that if there are modern-day hybrids walking around, like alive, not necessarily in public, they may be hidden on underground military bases or super-secret military bases. That is not very far-fetched. And I'll give you an example. Before the days of Noah, the Nephilim were seen in huge groups, so much so that the human race was about to be wiped out. After the flood, we start to see them gather in smaller areas, mostly the Promised Land. After the Promised Land conquering, when we get into up towards, you know, the Roman and Greek Empire, those empires, we start to see fewer and fewer events. We start to see singular events where a god or goddess, lowercase g, is seen coming down and having sex with a human and creating a hybrid child here and there. Hercules, Achilles, Gilgamesh, different kings and warriors throughout this time. And even in Genesis 6, it says these same Nephilim became mighty men or men of legend, men of great fame. So we see it go from a large amount to tribes, to one or two individuals here and there. They weren't just overwhelming the earth with Nephilim again. And also God gave commands throughout the Old Testament to wipe out every man, woman, and child of certain tribes, so it kind of kept these numbers down. And so we see as history progresses, or as time progresses, that only one or two show up here and there. Every now and then we'll find tribes in the more modern times, such as the red-haired tribes, in Nevada and some of the other states that the natives believed in, the red-haired six-fingered tribes, and we also see them around the world in other places. So when we get up to modern times, getting back on track, it wouldn't be far-fetched to believe that it's possible that they are being hidden on military bases out of the sight of us normal people. Another theory that kind of goes along with the military bases is that they are being hidden on board UFOs. That is a possibility, but again, it's one of those extreme theories. You have to kind of, you know, it's out there, I'll say that. It's up to you whether you want to believe it or not. A fourth theory is the hollow earth theory. And this goes along with what I mentioned earlier about the days of Noah. Some people believe that the Nephilim hid in the hollow earth, and some people believe that they are still hiding in the hollow earth and only venture out, you know, from time to time. And that's when we see or have sightings of giants, and some people link these to Bigfoot and the Yeti and other huge mountain men or mountain apes. So that's four theories so far. Another theory that I think is kind of interesting, there's no way to prove it, but I think it's very, very intriguing. A hybrid breeding program. Some people believe that there's a hybrid breeding program based on testimonies from abductees. Now, these abductees claim that they were abducted, impregnated, and then when the pregnancy got to a certain point, they were re-abducted and the baby was harvested, the fetus was harvested before they could give birth. Now, what's interesting about this process is that the baby is taken before there's any evidence collected from a doctor or any evidence that the woman was pregnant. And in some cases, they see that the woman was pregnant, but then the fetus is nowhere to be found. Sometimes there are scars from incisions. Sometimes there aren't. But babies don't just disappear. If a woman has a miscarriage, she knows she has a miscarriage. If babies don't just disappear from the womb. So this is something that I actually find very interesting and very terrifying at the same time. Now, the real question is, what are they doing with these babies after they, or these fetuses after they remove them? And that gets us into a discussion about demons. Now, many people believe that before the flood, there weren't any demons. And we also see that there are no mention of demons in the Bible before the flood. There's also not very much mention of a whole lot of things. But many people believe, because of the book of Enoch, that these Nephilim, because they were half angel, half human, when the flood occurred, they were wiped out in mass numbers, and their disembodied spirits became the demons that we see after the flood. And Moses in Deuteronomy 17:32, I believe, or 32:17, I always get the numbers mixed up, check both references. Moses talks about new gods coming that their fathers feared not. Some people believe that may be a reference to the Nephilim, or the disembodied spirits of the Nephilim. He talks about them worshiping demons and sacrificing to demons, these new spirits that came up. And this is interesting because you have to wonder, are demons, when demons are created, if they are the disembodied spirits of the Nephilim, are they birth mature, or do they grow like normal human beings would? Because these Nephilim aren't immortal. They still are mortal. They still live and die like humans would. They just are genetically enhanced, I guess you would say, or spiritually enhanced. And so you have to wonder, if they are harvesting these fetuses, are they raising them to maturity and building maybe an army, or are they genetically manipulating them so that they look more human and can walk among us undetected? Or another theory is that once these fetuses are harvested, they are killed in order to create a constant supply of demons. Now, again, some of this stuff is far-fetched and out there. There's no proof to it, but these things are kind of interesting to ponder. Now, what makes this even more interesting, the concept of killing the fetus immediately to have another demon, is that during the abduction process, many people have reported that the Greys, the big-headed, big-eyed aliens that most people associate abductions with, many people believe that the Greys are some kind of biometric suit that houses an entity. And even in some of the UFO lore, this position is popular, that the Greys are some kind of mindless drones, or some kind of entity inhabits the Greys and they work as some kind of drone. They almost seem robotic. And in some of the stories, they are controlled by the tall, blonde-haired, blue-eyed, Nordic-looking aliens. And again, I use the word alien loosely. For those of you who are not familiar with the topic, my personal belief is that these are fallen angels posing as aliens in order to be worshipped by God, or worshipped as God, not by God, but as God, in the coming future as part of a deception to lead mankind away from God. And I have a lot of, you know, old audio on that, and you can also, again, in my book, As the Days of Noah Were, you can check out a lot of that information about why angels, fallen angels, would pose as gods and pose as aliens and different beings throughout history in order to be worshipped. So this is kind of a quick introduction, and I'm going to do a part two to this because we're very limited on time. 30 minutes isn't a whole lot of time. I think we have about 6 minutes left. And I just want to let you guys know that I will be doing a part two because there's so much more to cover. This is such an interesting topic. And I expect a lot of questions. People always have a lot of questions about this. So make sure you send in your questions for part two because we're going to continue discussing the hybrid breeding program and what that might mean for our coming future. Many of you, a lot of you know this already, and some of you may not know this, but genetic tampering with the human race has been going on for a very, very long time. And I suspect that one of the goals is for fallen angels to sneak in hybrids among mankind in order to negate the prophecy of Christ redeeming mankind, in order to taint the genes. Because if there are no human beings left for Christ to save, then he can't fulfill his prophecy. And I don't believe they have enough time to tamper with the entire human race or to taint the entire human race. And so I believe that other things are going to come into play, such as different Holocaust on believers, wiping out as much of the human population as possible, and at the same time implementing the mark of the beast. Because once you take the mark of the beast, there's no turning back. That's final. And if you wipe out the human race physically, genetically, and then through action, you're wiping out a lot of the population on earth through one means or another. And Jesus says, unless those days are shortened, no flesh should be saved. We don't know exactly how deep of a statement that is just yet, but we know that there's going to be a lot of attempts to wipe out human flesh, because I don't believe Jesus was exaggerating. I don't believe Jesus would have said it if he didn't mean it. And again, he said, unless those days are shortened, no flesh should be saved. What does that mean? We're going to explore that next time. We're going to talk about no flesh being saved. We're going to talk about hybrid breeding programs. We're going to talk a little bit about transhumanism. And we're going to talk about where this all may be leading to in the very near future. So, again, for those of you who have not read my book, As the Days of Noah Were, I encourage you to pick that up. Also, pick up Beyond Flesh and Blood if you want to know more about angels and demons. So, if you have any questions, make sure to go to my website, www.MinisterFortson.com. You can sign up. You can get a bunch of free books. As a matter of fact, if you put your email address in the box, you'll get several free books, one of which is called, I changed the name of it. Let me make sure I have the right name. Hybrids Among Us, Transhumanism and Genetic Armageddon. Again, Hybrids Among Us, Transhumanism and Genetic Armageddon is a free 106-page ebook. All you have to do is drop your email address in the box, and it will be sent to your email 100% free. And you can read that to kind of get acquainted with some of the things that are going on in our modern times. And I'm also going to be updating it here soon. Had a few computer issues several months ago, and I have to get a lot of my work off of my old laptop in order to, you know, get up to date with a lot of the stuff that I want to do. For those of you who do read my website, check out the series Race Relations in the Bible. It is very interesting. I have part three coming very soon, hopefully by Friday, if not Monday. I have another post for you guys tomorrow that's going to be absolutely awesome. I'm not even going to tell you what it is. Make sure you subscribe so you don't miss it. And until next time, I want to tell you guys to have a blessed, safe, and happy week. And if you're subscribed to my website, I will let you know when the next episode of The Breakdown is coming up. So until then, again, have a safe, blessed, and happy week.